Recordings have now been started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the 43rd GNSO EPDP team meeting taking place on the 6th of February 2019 at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the telephone bridge, could you please let yourself be known now?
Hi, this is Stephanie Perrin. I'm on the bridge. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Noted. Hearing no one further, we have listed apologies from Alan Greenberg of ALAC, Georgia Salentis, GAC, Esteban Lascano, ISPCP, Emily Taylor, RRSG, James Bladel, RRSG, and Barry Cobb staff. They have formally signed Shuan Ojadeji, Chris Lewis-Evans, Fiona Asanga, Sarah Wild, and Theo Geertz as their alternate for this call in the remaining days of absence. During this period, members will have read-only rights and no access to conference calls. Their alternates will have posting rights and access to conference calls until the members' return date. As a reminder, the alternate assignment form must be formalized by the way of the link. The link is available in the agenda pod to the right, as well as the meeting invite email. Statements of interest must be kept to date. If anyone has any updates to share, please raise your hand or speak up now. Seeing or hearing no one, if you need assistance updating your statements of interest, please email the GNSO Secretariat. All documentation and information can be found on the EPDP Wiki space. There is an audio cast and view-only Adobe Connect for non-members to follow the call, so please remember to state your name before speaking. Recordings will be circulated on the mailing list and posted on the public Wiki space shortly after the end of the call. With this, I'll turn it back over to our chair, Kurt Pritz. Please begin.
Thanks, Terry, and hi, everybody. Welcome. We missed the American Groundhog Day celebration, but somehow this seems more like the cinematic Groundhog Day. Today's is an extra meeting, so I really appreciate everybody that's on for getting on. I know there's an RYSG call, so we're going to target this meeting to end in an hour and 15 minutes, and you know, I'm sure the RYSG meeting agenda is being attuned so that the participants here can get off and then participate in their meeting, especially with regard to this agenda item that'll be on their meeting. So thanks very much for those that are juggling those two things. I just have a couple updates, and then I want to get right into the substance of the meeting. So we set out another set of legal questions to Bird and Bird. These had to do with, so I wanted to let you know, and the legal team surely knows. So they had to do with the city field and the redaction or not redaction of the city field. You know, the questions are shared, of course, with the legal team who helped compose them. So we'll share these questions with the whole group. But the questions had to do with the redaction or not redaction of the city name, the meaning of accuracy with regard to the GDPR and how that might impact any of our requirements in complying with GDPR. And then an additional question regarding geographic implications that was raised by the legal team that had to do with the fact that, you know, if ICANN as a controller does in fact have, I forget the legal term, but significant operations in the EEA, and we make that presumption in our question, but we ask, we're not certain that it does in fact have that sort of establishment there. You know, what effect does that have on the requirements since ICANN's a data controller to comply with GDPR amongst its contracted parties? So that's sort of an interesting question. Stable establishments. Thanks very much, Amar. And I hope I didn't mangle the description of that question too much. I'm talking too fast here. We'll distribute those questions to the rest of the team so that you can see them. I just want to mention, and I think these questions will go to Trang and Dan at ICANN.org, but just want to call out a couple things that are going on the mailing list. With recommendation 13 and the parties involved, there's a discussion going back and forth whether to use the word agreement and arrangement. And so the latest request is, or the latest assertion by, I think, the RYSG or the contracted parties is that arrangements is okay, but, you know, seek some clarification or assurance from ICANN that the right sort of arrangements, i.e. agreements, will be developed. So I think that whole thing's kind of clunky with the RYSG asking for the clarification that can be included in the report and the footnotes. So my thinking right now is, you know, Trang and Dan, if you could kind of respond to that in the next 24 hours. With the sort of writing that's requested, that'd be great. We can probably include that. Otherwise, I think, you know, my sense is, and we'll sort this out in email, my feeling is the sense of the team is that the word agreements is fine and we want to go on with that. So thanks very much, Chris, for that thing. And then you know, also in the compliance recommendation, James Bledel sent an email asking ICANN to explain why there's an expansion on the use of those two terms that have been not distributed for a while. So if you could pay particular attention to that, you know, that would give the team something to grab a hold of in trying to respond to those two data elements. So that's sort of vague, but if you could look at James Bledel's email about the compliance recommendation, that'd be good. So that's all I have with regard to updates, and I want to get right into the substance because I want to get people off the call. Kavus, please go ahead.
Kavus, this is Terry. I see where your line is open.
Yes, my line is open. Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I think, Kurt, thank you very much for your very substantive work you are doing, devotion, and so on and so forth. You raised three questions about the city name. You raised a question about the national versus legal, the legal. Your questions relating to the geographic positions or location, but you did not refer to the organization. Have you resolved the matter? This is point one. Point two, there is big difference between agreement and arrangement. Arrangement has administrative and operational connotation. Agreement has contractual connotations. They are not similar. They are not replaceable. I don't mind if everybody agree with the replacement of agreement by arrangement, but that are two different things. Last but most important point, we very much appreciate any legal view, but it is up to us to agree or not to agree to any view given from legal. We are not looking for what is the prevailing law in California that the legal people say that this is that and we agree that. We are talking about something that relates to all of us. So we thank very much the BNB, but it is up to us at the end to see whether we agree with that legal view or not, with respect to the city, with respect to the geographic, with respect to the other natural versus legal, and also organization, but I don't know what happened to the organization, and so on and so forth. So with all of these, thank you very much. I return back to you. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Kavus. On organization, we did reach an agreement in principle on a phase-in process to, you know, remain GDPR compliant, protect registered name holders that have disclosed personal data through their organization field already and in the past, and how to manage that in a go-forward manner. And that agreement in principle is put into a pretty specific recommendation. The BC, I think, raised some questions about that. So before it's completely closed off, if the registrars or the contracting parties could respond, I think that'd be great. If not, well, you know, we'll see if we can find some sort of common language ourselves, but it would be great if the registrars could signal if they agree with that or not. And
yes.
Then, you know, I think there's a lot of sympathy for your position that on this whole thing that agreements and arrangements are not the same thing, and that's why there's some dismay at the recommended change. But we'll wait to hear back from ICANN on that.
Yes, I have no problem with if we reach agreement. I don't want to be open, provided that this issue organization would not be reopened again. That is my position at this very late hours and so on and so forth. We should not come back. With respect to the tree, okay, we are prepared to listen to legal view, but it's up to us and the group community to have an agreement on that and have a consensus and so on and so forth. I have no problem, but please kindly be aware that we just listen to legal view. Decision is by us, but not by others.
Right.
Thank you.
I think everybody agrees with that, too. Okay, I'm just pausing for a second to right, so there's a question from Thomas on this agreement versus arrangement. So I think we'll wait to, you know, we have a specific request on the part of the RYST, and I think the contracted parties, both sets, and ICANN org is going to get back to us. Back to us on that. So let's go so the agenda is recommendation 5, the transmission of registration data from registrar to registry. So I think we have a updated language to discuss from the RYSG. There's the ICANN questions that we boiled down to like 6 areas. Now I think we have down to 4 areas, so I hope we can dispose of that quickly. And then finally, I want to talk about reasonable access. We talked about that yesterday and made some pretty darn good progress, I think, but it's a significantly important issue, so I don't want to leave the closure of that to email, so I'd like to discuss it here. Again, this agenda, if you add up all the time, adds up to more than an hour and a half, but I'm committed to getting everybody out of here in about an hour from now. So we have the amended language proposal that was delivered from Christina, so thank you for that. Staff, I think the support team just emailed out the same version of that, and again, there's some comments. I guess that's because of the red line. So there's the original language, but I think, you know, we should just focus on the new language and see if that's acceptable to us. So what I'd like you to do is I'll take a couple minutes and read, if you can find that email that was recently sent. You know, it's a 3-pager. One is the original language. The second page is the new language for the report, and the third are some notes that the RYST had appended to the wording. But if you want to shortcut that, I think we can sort of discuss the second page, which is the updated language. So I'm going to just chill here for 3 or 4 minutes, and then I'll get back to you. So if you could take time to read that, I think it'd be great. Okay, welcome back, everyone. So I think that was kind of a short read. Margie, I see your hands raised. I don't know if Christina or Alan want to make some introductory comments. Margie, would you mind me ceding the floor to Alan since he was one of the authors here?
Oh, no, go ahead. I'll wait.
Okay, thanks, Margie. Give us a brief intro, Alan.
Sure, thanks, Kurt. Thanks, all. So, with regards to recommendation 5, I think there's kind of a two kind of pronged approach that we took when we were reviewing this. Specifically, the first one was we wanted to make sure that we, because we had discussed about this and at the end of during Toronto, and I think we have all come to an agreement on this, and please obviously correct me if I'm wrong, that the concept of the workbooks, although vital to providing the context and the detail of the decisions and the recommendations, that they are specifically, you know, they are to be included in an annex as the work that was done to come to the conclusion and not necessarily a part of the recommendation itself. So that's why we changed it to illustration as opposed to just to say that this is what the workbooks are. They're an illustration of, in effect, what the recommendations should be. So that was just the first kind of a work on this one. The most important part is really in bullet 2. And again, bullet 2, specifically, we believe that it came from the conversations that we had in specifically with regards to purpose 1B. And that was trying to highlight the fact that what made Purpose 1B so difficult to come up with was the fact that depending on the individual registry, the business plan, the contracts that they have with ICANN, and indeed the individual controllership were necessary of the registry itself, that they might not necessarily need the transfer of the registrant data to fulfill what they believe is required. And that is a perfectly okay stance for them. So what we're looking at then specifically was the proposed rewrite of the second bullet, and we felt that we could put it perhaps in a slightly more clear aspect, and there's two elements to that. So the first and the most obvious clear aspect of it was explaining this concept, and I apologize to everybody because this is my addition to it, and that is the mean data set. And that is coming and springing from this concept that every single purpose that we as a team have come up with, each one of those has its own minimum data set. That's not to say that we have to specifically collect separate tranches of data and put them in separate areas. You know, the collection can be unique or can be a single collection, but it is for each one of the purposes. So when we're considering, say, for instance, purpose 1B, even though we're collecting that data, you know, a single place, we are collecting that data in its own specific data processing set. So there's a collection for purpose 1B, there's a use for purpose 1B, and there's, you know, retention for purpose 1B, et cetera. So when it comes down to it, we need to say, okay, if we were to consider the entirety of the data across all of the purposes and figure out what is the common data that would be collected for this purpose, well, then we can call it, you know, to use the mathematical term, it's the mean data set. It's not the minimum data set. It is the common data set across the purposes. It's a term of art to help us probably try and understand it a little bit better. So in this purpose, we're talking about the transfer of the data. So that's why we say this set of data elements constitutes a mean data set. That is the aggregate minimum data set of all identified purposes that registrars will be required to transfer to registry. So hopefully that makes it a little bit clearer why I'm calling it the mean data set. Again, it's to take into this account that it's across all purposes. It's a term of art. Now, specifically, we thought we would just there was an awful lot of trying to get into the detail in the previous point too about it, and we thought that if by clearly just cleaning up that last line, that is, the mean data set also includes those data elements that may not be transferred from a registrar to the registry, where such a registry does not require such a transfer with due regard to that registry's terms, conditions, and policies. So it's effectively saying the minimum data set is the data set, for instance, for 1B, that we are specifically saying this is justified. We have a business purpose. We have a business a legal basis for the transfer. However, there are instances where a registry might say, I do not require that because of my terms and conditions, my policies, and my specifics. and therefore I'm going to decline to get that transferred to me. And it is up to that registry then to point out, I do not want that. So we're just allowing within this recommendation that there is a leeway, and a perfectly acceptable leeway, because we don't want to push registries into a position where they have to take data, where they genuinely don't agree or believe that they need that data. So it's an acceptance that the minimum data set we have said is fine. We have accepted that the minimum data set is justified. However, there can be a departure from that minimum data set as well, which should be equally as supported by ICANN as well. So that was kind of an important aspect of that. The second thing what I will say is we took out the specific reference to Recommendation 22 as well. And I know that might cause consternation by people. However, the fact of the matter is Recommendation 22 will still serve its purpose. And its purpose is saying that there will be policies, and we can point out specifically within Recommendation 22 that the WHO is the thick WHO is policy is one of those specifically that we think will be affected by this. I don't think we need to complicate it here in Recommendation 5 by saying, oh, also Recommendation 22 will talk about the thick WHO is policy. Recommendation 22 should stick as the last recommendation, where we say, because of the work and because of the data that we have identified as the minimum data set or even the mean data set in this, there will be a necessity to review certain policies. And I don't think that changes this by taking it out of Recommendation 5. I think it would just be confusing to leave it in here, because it's bringing in a concept and mixing thick WHO is with this new concept of minimum data set. And I think for the reader, for the person who is not party to the 43 meetings that we have had, it is just a far easier thing to digest and understand if we just lay out the recommendation, and then when they get to Recommendation 22, they can go, ah, yes, I see that there is going to be an effect on this particular policy and other policies, and that will need to be looked at by the GNSO as well. So again, our edits are based on clarity, trying to get to the core of the issue and not, I suppose, mystifying it somewhat by bringing in things which are going to be covered elsewhere. I hope that has, because this is asking what's the meaning of aggregate. I don't know if I can include, I mean, aggregate is aggregate. I'm sorry, because it's like, I don't know how to actually answer that. An aggregate means it is the collection of all the purposes together. So all the data sets, the collection of the data sets. I'm probably failing English 101 in this, but I don't know if I can define that better. I would say the aggregate minimum data set is clear according to AMR. Yeah, I mean, I'm open to that as well. Again, we were just trying to get this idea that it is the collection of all the common data elements across all the purposes for the purpose of transfer. So it's a new concept, and hopefully it is one that sticks with it. It makes it cleaner in my mind. So I'm going to stop there and give it over to people.
Thanks for that explanation. Margie, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. It's Margie. Thank you for that explanation, Alan. I don't see how we can make this recommendation, because this is a consensus policy that we spent many, many years developing. I understand we're chartered to take a look at the recommendations, the current consensus policies, and tweak them, but this is an altogether deletion of the policy. And so I think there needs to be a lot more analysis as to what's the implications of that. I really feel like that this is a question that needs to go back to the council rather than a recommendation at this point, because of the uncertainty. So that's kind of the first kind of procedural point. But even, you know, setting that aside, if you think about what the recommendation says, it actually is problematic from a number of fronts, because if a registrar feels that they don't think the registry needs the data, but the registry feels that it needs the data, then what happens? There could be a wholesale, basically ceasing of transferring data from the registrar to the registry, even if the registry's business model was one where it absolutely needed the data. And I think that's an untenable situation for the industry and for ICANN. I think that we have to think really hard about how that would even work. And this is the reason why I'm saying to get rid of an entire policy, in my view, is premature, and there hasn't been enough analysis in order to support that kind of outcome and to really see what the impact would be of the recommendations we're making. If you think about what the recommendation is, it actually removes ICANN's role in this decision. And so there's nothing to enforce if a registrar decides for whatever reason that it doesn't feel like sending the information to the registry. And so I just think the whole thing doesn't work from that perspective and think that it probably should be left either for phase two or a question to the council as to what to do about it.
Thanks for that, Margie. I have some similar questions, but I spent some time in the past several days trying to answer them myself, so I have some comments, but let's go through the queue. Hadia?
So I actually don't understand this meme data set. So what actually Alan said, the meme data set is the common data set between all purposes, right? And that means that some other data sets that are not common will not be transferred, if I correctly understand what Alan said. And so my question is, what about those other data sets? And why is it, what is the logic behind it? And why is it only good to transfer this data set, the common, but the other data that is left out? And if the logic behind this is the principle of minimization, I don't see that applying here. And then my second point, and I might have understood Alan wrongly, I don't know. And my second point is with regard to the second bullet. And where he says here, registry, where such a registry does not require such a transfer, well, this will mainly depend on the agreements between the registry and ICANN, and maybe the registries and the registrars, and also whether this is a thin or thick registry. I'm not sure that we need to put that here, because it will depend on other agreements between the different parties. Thank you.
Hadia, go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. I think it's probably easiest to deal with Hadia's intervention first. Unfortunately, I think she's, to be delicate about it, completely missed the point on this. The with regards to the specific, that went through my head, whatever that was. So with regards to the mean data set, again, it's very specific that the mean data set, I think what you're missing is the context that each and every purpose, as I said, has to have its own data set. Each purpose has a minimum data set for which you collect, process, and go through the entire life cycle of that data. However, in this recommendation, we're trying to figure out what data, for all the purposes, needs to be transferred to the registrar. So what we're saying, that there is a mean data set with regards to all the purposes, which is common, the common elements between all the purposes that would be transferred to the registrar as is required by the purposes. So instead of us pointing out the data specifically under purpose 1, 2, 3, 3-7, we're saying that this is the mean data set where we've identified, and this is part of the work of the small team as well, we've identified that data which is to be transferred to the registry for all the purposes together. It's an easier way of looking at it. It's in a less confusing way. So I think you kind of missed the point there. It's not saying that other data won't be transferred. And if all the data isn't transferred, then obviously the agreement of the PDP is to say, well, obviously it's not required. And I don't think it's about data minimization or not. It's just that we do not justify such a transfer in those elements. So I'm assuming it's probably going to go back into consideration of admins and whatnot, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the agreed transfers and, you know, as will be agreed and brought to the plenary by the small team as well on the data workbooks. So I'm sorry, Hattie, I just don't agree with you on that. Now, to go very quickly back to Margie's point. So, Margie, again, I disagree with you on that. Our mandate here is to say where there is an issue with the current way data is being processed within the DNS or within the system that is incompatible with that of the GDPR, we are to point out how we believe we can make that compatible so that we can continue on processing that data. I'm not saying, and we're not saying, that we think that we should destroy the thick who is policy. We're saying that in Recommendation 32, it is clear that we are going to have an effect on this policy, specifically this policy, and that it is up to the GNSO to reopen it and have a look and see, can they make a better job of it? We're doing a sticking plaster here to ensure compliance. I think you're probably overstating what we're trying to achieve here. And overwhelmingly, I'm looking at the comments from people, that they're saying that this makes sense. It's a big change, but it is that which is necessary to enable us to move on. Also, if the registrars have been on the record several times already saying that if the registries can prove as to why they need it and they have a legal basis, then they probably won't have an issue with it. We're just putting that into a recommendation, saying if you do not have a problem with it, and this is the PDP team, by the way, that's saying this, we're saying there is a justification for this transfer as a basic ICANN policy, then the transfer may occur. And we're going to inbuild into the process this justifications, which should hopefully have an issue with the registrar, or not have an issue with the registrars. And, you know, if the registrars do have an issue, well, then that is a discussion between the parties, which we can have. I don't get your point on that either. I think this is something that is possibly quite necessary.
Thanks. I think, all right. Everybody, I'll let Cavus go, and then I have a couple of comments.
Hi. I raised the questions. I asked him, what do we mean by in the aggregate? In aggregate of what? The sentence that starts the command that is specifically identified data. Somebody should identify data in a specific manner, but not all data. Specifically, or data which has been specifically identified. That then we say transfer from registry data in aggregation. What does it mean in aggregation? All together in one slot? What does it mean? Why we need the word in aggregation? What does it mean in aggregation? Thank you.
I think the term aggregation means is that we have seven purposes, or eight if you count number one as two, for processing registration data. And in many of those, or some of those instances, that those purposes require the transfer of some of those data elements to registries from the registrars. And what this recommendation is saying, take the data elements from each of those purposes that have to be transferred from registrar to registry, add them all up, aggregate them, and that's the data set that will be transferred from registrar to registry. So that's, I think that's the aggregation step. Well, I'll look at that.
This is what you said, but the recommendation does not say that. Recommendation does not say that at all for the readers. You says whatever is on purpose two, put them together in aggregation or addition or summation, send it from one to the other. But this does not say that. The aggregation does not mean that aggregations coming from the different purposes and so on and so forth. So we have to really clarify the matter. We are not writing for ourselves. Thank you.
Thanks. So let me make a couple points to help us maybe get to closure, or maybe recognize that we're not going to. So first, to one of Margie's specific questions in the chat, I don't know if it was answered, but so URS is part of this. And so if you were to look at the work the data elements team has done, and you know, that data to effectuate or carry out the obligation under URS requires the transfer of data from registrar to registry. So that is part of the data set that's being transferred currently. So I have 3 points to make to this. One is looking at the current state of that data table that essentially many of the data elements that are under ThickWhiz are currently being transferred to the registry, primarily for URS, and maybe for other reasons too. So, even in the worst case, in the short term anyway, the transfer of many of those data elements are continuing. The second point is that we were looking back at the work of the ThickWhiz policy team and the balancing they did in weighing the costs and benefits of ThickWhiz. And it was a fairly careful balancing. And so what has to happen is that balancing now needs to take place again with the introduction of GDPR and other privacy regimes that are occurring. So I don't think we're the ones that are best suited or able to carry out that careful balancing. So that has to be done somewhere else. And we're telling the GNSO in our recommendation 22 that, you know, this needs to be done somewhere else. And because we weren't formed to do that balancing and haven't trained ourselves to be able to do that balancing. So I really think the removal of the reference to ThickWhiz in this recommendation and preserving recommendation 22 really serves the purpose of having that debate that the detailed analysis that Margie indicated. That's the best place for that to take place. And then the third thing that I understand that others can help me with here is that my understanding of the RDAP implementation is going to cure the potential problem caused by the debate over ThickWhiz and how it's affected, so that RDAP solves the same problem of having redundant databases in different places that ThickWhiz was meant to address. So I think that one is, in the short term, we have data elements that are essentially the same. Two is, you know, we need the right body to carry out this debate, and it's a debate that will take some time. And three is, this is likely to be taken over by events of RDAP. Finally, I think my impression is the way the recommendation is rewritten really preserves our ability to do that better than the previous recommendation. So sorry for that. Hadia, please go ahead.
So actually, this is an old hand, but anyway, I could go back and say quickly that I see the term, using the term mean data set, does not say what Alan just explained and is trying to say. I would suggest that to omit it, or maybe he could provide examples where such a term is used and would mean the aggregate data set. Thank you.
Kurt, are you on mute?
Thanks, Hadia. Yeah, I was on mute. So I was just going to say, to me, minimum is kind of the right term because it establishes the baseline of data. So all this data in the minimum data set must be transferred. So I kind of think minimum is a better word, but aggregate's fine for me too. That's up to you guys. So I think Margie's next in the queue.
Yeah, this is Margie. I don't think Alan's response really addressed the my concern about the case-by-case nature of what the recommendation says. If the recommendation is that the GNSO needs to further examine this, then I think this whole discussion and report doesn't have to go into the level of detail that was proposed, and in particular, the notion that it's up to the registrar as the data controller to decide whether the purpose is sufficient. To me, that's just, you know, not necessary, problematic, and I think that that part in particular needs to be really, really thought out, because I feel that it breaks the contractual nature of you know, the way the registration process and works. And so I feel that we could have a recommendation that doesn't go into that level of detail, given the fact that we're saying that it needs to go back to the GNSO for further consideration.
So again, what I think this says is, you know, given all the data element work we did, that these data elements have to be transferred from registrar to registry, and that others can be considered, which leads to the discussion on the quiz. Alan, please go ahead.
Sorry, took a while to get off mute. I'm not going to say much more on it because, let's be honest, we were just providing the much-needed debate opener on this one. I think Aidan has just suggested there in the chat aggregate minimum data set. Yeah, if that works, that works. I'm just pointing out the fact, and it is very clear that, you know, the reason why we can't just say the minimum data set is because we're talking about the minimum data set across all purposes, each one of which has its own minimum data set. So as long as that's taken care of, fine. I don't think Margie and myself are going to agree on this. I think I personally think that Margie's missing the point as well, that, you know, this is necessary to meet compliance, but if she wants to end up with us coming to a point where we're not compliant, then that's a whole other different conversation. I think this is an elephant in the room situation, and to be perfectly honest, it goes to the core of what we're trying to achieve here. It's just a shame that we're doing it so close to the bone, because I think we could have discussion on this, and I think we could come to an agreement on this. I, you know, but this is what it is, and we just need to deal with it.
Mark, please go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, it's Mark Anderson for the transcript. I think Alan's correct in that, you know, there's an elephant in the room around this one. There's probably a couple elephants in the room, actually. You know, and one of them is that I don't think in ICANN's history there's been a situation where the work in one PDP conflicts with the work of a previous PDP. There's not been a whole lot of PDPs, and so we're dealing with a situation that's a little bit uncharted territory. But of course, you know, just about everything for our group is uncharted territory. So I guess that's that new for us. But the fact that we have a PDP that you know is really conflicting with the work of previous PDPs, and you know the elephant there is of course the thick who is PDP. Much of that work was done in 2012 and 2013, far predating you know the current privacy and data protection landscape that we're forced or faced with right now. And so we're having to react to that and figure out how best to proceed. The plain you know fact of the matter is our recommendations are are not compatible with the recommendations of that previous THCOIS policy recommendation. There's no way to reconcile the two. They conflict with each other. Kurt, you mentioned the balancing act that was done. That balancing act did not encompass the GDPR. There was that full disclosure. I was on that working group and part of those discussions. And it was just simply not something we felt we were equipped to deal with. Was consider privacy regulations and the potential impacts they would have. And that led to one of the recommendations coming out of that group that a legal analysis be done before the implementation of that policy, recognizing that there were ramifications, but we weren't equipped to deal with them in that PDP. But like I said, the elephant in the room here is really that we have policy recommendations that are conflicting, and we need to come up with a way to reconcile the two and move them forward. And I think, we're taking a crack at trying to do this here as part of recommendation 5 and then, again in, recommendation 22. And so we're trying to recognize that, and figure out how to proceed with that.
Thanks, Mark. Margie, go ahead.
I lost my train of thought. I think it's going to be hard to reach agreement on this one. I think the approach should be much more high level. I think that there's a disagreement on what the data minimization requirement is. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. And I think the thing about the language that's proposed, it also says provided there's a legal basis. Well, hasn't that been what we've been working on the whole time? I mean, we've spent from the very beginning since Los Angeles identifying the legal basis. And so it seems like all the work we've done is basically ignored, and it just creates the recommendation 5 creates a very, very uncertain situation because it doesn't, there's no assurance that the data set will be transferred. There's two caveats here. Appropriate legal basis, which I thought we'd already addressed elsewhere, and data processing agreement is placed. And again, that's also addressed somewhere else. So that entire addition, to me, doesn't make sense, and I would propose deleting that because it's already covered elsewhere.
So one point Margie just raised is that in the recommended red line where it says, provided an appropriate legal basis exists, is that isn't that what was considered when we built this, when we built the data set, when we went through all the purposes and the data mapping that we identified that an appropriate legal basis existed. And so I thought that might be already in place. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Kurt. I'm listening to what Margie said. I'm taking away that there's an opportunity to be a little clearer in what we're trying to say. And I'm trying to think through let me take another stab at this. And I think this goes back a lot, to the discussions we had in the registry stakeholder group around purpose 1 that led to us splitting it out into 1A and 1B. Kurt, we talked about what we've done in this group is, focused primarily on defining, what the processing activities are and identifying legal basis for those. And that's really where we spend the bulk of our work. But what we came to is that not all registries have a purpose for all the data that we're talking about. Some of that data can reside solely at the registrar and the DNS and the domain registration ecosystem can work fine and can function fine. On the other hand, some registries have a need for that data, for their use cases, for how they implement their contracts and how they operate their TLDs. Some registries need additional data at the registry level, and that requires the transfer of that data additional data from the registrar to the registry. And so what we've tried to come up with is policy language and recommendations that is flexible enough to account for that. Ultimately what we're trying to do is reconcile the fact that we have contracts that contracted parties feel don't enable them to comply with GDPR, and we're trying to address that. Ultimately, if we're requiring registrars to transfer personally identifiable information to a registry that doesn't need it and doesn't feel they have a legitimate purpose for processing that data, then we're going to be back where we started. And so we're trying to address that through this language. If we didn't get there, if we weren't as clear as we need to be, then let's look at how we can tweak the language. But that's really the issue we're trying to solve for here.
Thanks, Mark. Go ahead, Theo, and then I'll wrap this up.
Thanks, Kurt, and this is Theo for the record. So I agree with Mark here, but I have a little bit of a somewhat bigger question. I mean, we've been at this for months. It says right there in the text that the EPDP team has determined that there is not always a legitimate purpose. So it is, for me, a 1+1 situation, which has a logical result that we need to address it. And what I'm hearing now by certain participants is that we are basically invalidating our own work, which we've been working for months on. I mean, maybe I'm missing a couple of things here, but it sounds like a little bit of a surrealistic situation, so to speak, which I do not completely comprehend. Thanks.
Thanks. So I think it's important for us in our recommendations to say that we've gone through the purposes we've identified for processing registration data and mapped out the different data flows and the legal basis for each of the processing steps. And in that work, we've identified for those purposes that we have identified the sets that in order to comply with ICANN agreements or some other policies that with ICANN agreements other purposes that need to be transferred from the registrar to the registry. So that's what we have, and I think it's really important that we say that somewhere in this report. I think that so that's one point. The second point is I find Aidan's rewording more clear to the casual reader, which I think is really important. So I like that wording. But I don't think we can do the analysis here that says that the thick quiz policy meets the has the required legal basis. And I think that's several people have said that's a complex analysis. So I think, where we are is, sort of with Aidan's language as a starter. And then, Margie, I don't know, if you could take this back and think for a while, maybe there's, how do you, I want to preserve your arguments and sense of urgency about the clash between this and the thick who is policy and how that can be best resolved in what we say. So I don't know if I can kind of stick you and your colleagues with that sort of assignment to see if there's some wording. You know, I think it's a place other than this recommendation five, but I think that's what recommendation 22 is for, and that's why we pended that out to the end. But either, you know, somewhere in this final report that we address this, because as Mark said, you know, it is an elephant in the room, so we can't be silent on it. I don't know if you can take that on or not, or we need to move on with some disagreement. Mark, bring us home, and then we've got a couple minutes to go.
Thanks, Kurt. Mark again. You know, following up on what you just said, I mean, maybe recommendation 22 might be the place for that. But you know, I just want to reiterate. You know, we can't pretend we're not impacting thick who is and that policy. You know, our recommendations are amount to a fundamental change to how registration data is processed. And you know, in our preliminary recommendation 22 language, I'm quoting it here from the Sunday draft, I think. For example, a number of the policies refer to the administrative and or technical contact, which will no longer be required data elements. You know, these are traditionally required as part of a thick registry, and you know our recommendations are to remove the administrative contact and change and limit the amount of data that's required for the technical contact. You know, this is a fundamental departure from what's been done in the past, and you know we can't pretend that there aren't impacts to that.
Thanks, Mark. Margie, could you bring us home?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'll bring us home. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be difficult here. But I really feel that, you know, if you think about what we've been doing, we've been, you know, working tirelessly to address the issue so we are GDPR compliant. And I think that you know, by eliminating the administrative contact, by redacting data. So a lot of the things that made perhaps thick who is, you know, problematic before we started this process has been dealt with. And so this is why I'm having such a difficulty with the recommendation itself, because I don't think there's actually a legal argument for this, and I feel that this is something we should pose to Ruth. And have that inform the recommendation rather than say that it's too much, we can't do it, you know, because you have to look at the transfer and the data in light of, you know, the updated purposes and the notion that the you know, the information isn't going to be freely available, but it's going to be available on, you know, and under purpose two, once we flesh out the reasonable access and, you know, the step in phase two. So it's a different analysis because we've refined the policy to address the GDPR issues. And so to me, this goes far beyond our mandate of you know, ensuring that we, you know, address the GDPR related issues. And so my recommendation here is to pose the question to Ruth about this, and if there is a legal basis, which is, in my view there is, because we have we've already identified as a 6.1b, you know, the performance of contract, then it's not a GDPR issue anymore. It's addressed, and we have purposes that we've identified. So So anyway, like I said, I think it's you know, in order to be able to have a recommendation like this, I think we need to get the legal input from Ruth. And if she tells us that there's a problem with the circuitous policy from a GDPR perspective, then that's a separate issue. You know, then we have to come back and really, you know, take a hard look at this. So that, you know, perhaps that's the path forward, is to ask for legal advice from Ruth and move it to phase two, and then we can refine our recommendations in phase two, and maybe we can even pose the question to the GNSO Council in our phase one report about, you know, what would be the process for essentially, you know, gutting the WHOIS policy, the WHOIS policy, if that's, you know, where the team decides to go.
Okay, and I'd ask you to help pose that question to Ruth, because I think the benefits of thick WHOIS needs to be carefully crafted. I don't think it's in the thick WHOIS final policy is that it's well stated so that she can make a decision. And so I'll just close on this by saying I think it's important that we've identified which data elements are to be transferred from the registrar to the registry based on the purposes we have. So we've identified that, and we've identified, we don't like the word minimum, but those are the data elements that have to be transferred to the registry in order to comply with their existing contractual requirements. And so by minimum, that's the floor. And when you look at the tables, you'll see, you know, with the exception of that, the admin and tech contact data, it's remarkably similar to FICS. So I think our report has to say that, Margie, let's collaborate on what we might do during phase two to have the discussion analysis you discussed. Mark, is that an old hand or a new hand?
I'm sorry, Kurt. I know you're trying to close this, but it's a new hand. I just want to clarify. You said the data set's remarkably similar to thick, and I just want to clarify. I disagree with that. I don't think that we've identified a purpose for why contact data must be transferred to the registry in all cases. If in purpose 1B, to be clear, we've identified that some registries need that data, but not all registries. So to be perfectly clear here, my interpretation of the work we've done so far is that the transfer of contact data, registrant contact data from the registrar to the registry, is not a required processing activity.
Thanks for that clarification. I want to spend 5 minutes or so on the ICANN questions, and there's a couple in particular I'd like to talk about. This is the first one. Let's see. Right, so in our last meeting, we got some good clarification from Dan on this, and that is, I'm just reminded that this is not scrollable because this is what the thing we need to look at. So this changes the agreements, the contract and party agreements for making RRA amendments, and the purpose of it is that, or the reason for it, I hate that word purpose, for the reason for it is that all the registries are amending their RRAs to be GDPR compliant. And so each registrar, you know, can be expected to receive 1,200 amendments, and there's a lot of flying around, and then all those amendments have to be approved by ICANN. And so what ICANN was seeking here was to streamline that whole process for registries and registrars to amend their RRAs. And so I would like to hear from the contracted parties that this would be beneficial to put into our policy. It's a little bit too prescriptive maybe for a policy. Nonetheless, it's clear and I think helpful. So I'd be for including this or something remarkably similar to this for for our policy work. Christina, hi.
Hi. Christina Rosette for the Registry Stakeholder Group. With the caveat that I will, I'm open to being corrected by my registry colleagues because we haven't had a chance to discuss this in any detail. I think the hesitation that I have in making it a policy recommendation is that if we do that, it's much more difficult to change it. If it turns out that there is some more efficient or effective way to do this in the future. I think that, I mean, it's my understanding, and I think Dan and Trang have a better sense of this, that virtually all registries have gone through this process, with regard to the temp spec changes, and obviously to the extent it's necessary to do so as a result of our recommendations, there's no reason why we couldn't use the process, but I think we're better off having it as an implementation point rather than a specific policy recommendation. Thanks.
Mark? Thanks, Christina.
Thanks, Kurt, and apologize for everybody who's getting sick of hearing my voice today. I agree with Christina. I don't think this language is needed in our consensus policy recommendations. I think this was a fairly one-time activity to address sort of the urgency of the GDPR effective date in May. I don't think we want to carry this forward, and I don't think it's anything that needs to be in our policy recommendations. So I agree with Christina.
Should it be it being part of the temp spec? It was sort of in your agreement. Is there some changes that need to be made to the agreements specifically because the temp spec is going away? Should we make a general recommendation that the policy should include a predictable and transparent process for RRA amendments to comply with GDPR? So I think your comment, Christina's comment, was spot on, and so I'm wondering what we should do. Is this all dealt with so we don't have to do anything? Mark, Christina, or anybody?
Kurt.
Go ahead, Mark.
Kurt, thanks. So there is an existing policy, or there is an existing mechanism for changing RRA amendments. This was intended to be a one-time mechanism for streamlining that process. That's been done. Everybody that was going to take advantage of that streamlined process has taken advantage of that streamlined process. There isn't, a new problem or a new deadline that we're trying to address or solve. I think there's no need for this to have a life beyond, beyond its, what its existence in the temporary specification. It accomplished its purpose. It's done. That purpose no longer exists.
Okay, so we have some agreement in the chat that we could have a general policy, but we also have Mark's intervention that 1 year is for this, and when the temp spec sunsets, this can sunset with it. I'm going to ask Marika to circulate language on the general proposal, but you know, I think we need to be completely open that this was an aspect of the temp spec that had a one-year lifetime, and it's over. And then we can agree or disagree on email. Can we go down to the next section? So this is a notice that registrars should present to registered name holders regarding data processing. And I think the status of this one was that we thought, while this largely copied language out of GDPR, we thought this language was too prescriptive. I think this is primarily a contracting party issue, but from anyone, is there a recommendation how to modify or adopt this one? Go ahead, Tia.
Thanks, Kurt. And I'm doing this on the fly and from a recollection long, long time ago, but I thought we, as a registered stakeholder group said, these were indeed two perspectives, and we shouldn't be doing this because the basic lowdown on this was because this is already specified by the GDPR in a much better fashion. And that mm-hmm. also includes the fact that this is very specific towards a registrar where the data collectors could also be resellers. My recollection is that we sort of went like, let's just stick with the GDPR, which is sort of policy technology neutral and deals with it in a better fashion. But I'll let my registrar or registry colleagues correct me on the spot and kick me under the table here. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Theo. Go ahead, Margie.
I believe there's other parts, and I can't remember which, where we talk about providing proper notices to the registrant. Maybe it's related to the consent discussion. So I think that this is something that we work through in implementation. This is probably too specific. And it's not to say that some of this wouldn't be covered, but I feel like it's not necessary that we do it here. It's just something that, you know, perhaps gets dealt with, you know, with along with the other informed consent concepts that we've talked about in our recommendations.
Thanks, Margie. That sounds right. Was Alan or Mark in the queue? Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Kurt. I lowered my hand because essentially I agreed with what Theo said. You know, this is, you know, we don't need policy language that duplicates, you know, legal obligations. And you know, this is overly prescriptive. You know, it doesn't apply to all registrations, just where that registration is subject to GDPR. So it's overly prescriptive and really redundant with legal obligations. So I don't see this as being a needed policy recommendation language.
Right. So I'm sensing we're going to leave this on the cutting room floor. Can we go on to the bulk transfer, which is at the back end? So as I recall, and again, I defer to Dan, but the data that was being transferred from many registries to ICANN consisted of included personal data. And even with the advent of GDPR, evidently some registries are still doing that. And so, as I recall, Dan's intervention you know, this this sort of detail needed to be made clear to registry operators. I'm wondering, I don't know if this rises up to a recommendation level, or maybe it's one of those action things where we were going to send an action, I think, to the RPM team or something like that. So is this an action we could just ask ICANN to take to notify registries, or is this a contract amendment that should be put in the next round of the registry agreements? What's the best way to handle this part of the temporary specification? Mark, is that a former hand?
It's a new hand, Kurt. And apologies, y'all must really be getting sick of my voice at this point. I think, you make a good point here. This language in the temp spec, I think, was good, but it's really a band-aid for something that would be better addressed as part of a contract amendment. I wonder what Dan's thoughts on this one. Is there, does ICANN think maybe we need, we need language in the policy recommendations to maybe bridge the gap until contract amendments could be done, if we have a bridging mechanism in our policy recommendations? Would that be enough until we can get contract language updated? Kurt, I think you made a real good point there, that this is really something best left to ICANN and contracted parties to work out, but would love to get Dan's thoughts on this one.
And Dan raises his hand. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Kurt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Thanks. So I think I agree this is sort of an in-the-weeds thing, and maybe a little more detail than usually shows up in a GNSO policy recommendation. But today, the registry agreement says registry operators may send a full escrow deposit with all the contact details, and that's a permitted thing. Like, registry operators, you can almost say they have the right to send a full deposit, and it's going to be work for them, and has been work, I'm sure, to, instead of sending a full escrow deposit with all the contact detail, now they have to strip it down and just send us in technical data. That's definitely something that ICANN wants. We don't want the full escrow deposit that would, create implications for GDPR that we'd all have to look through and analyze again. And for the past year, that's been patched with the temp spec. And so I think it really is important for the team to decide what should the rule be the day the temp spec disappears. Are registry operators allowed to go back to sending us the full deposit, in which case we're going to have to do some thinking on that, or can this provision be continued and, take away this the provision that says registry operators may send a FIN, and let's please stick with what it says in the temp spec, which is they must only send the FIN data. Thanks.
Can I just respond?
So, yeah, please do.
Thanks, Mark. And thanks, Dan. That was helpful. And I think you make a good point, because if registries start sending you the thick data, then this is a processing activity that we have to take account for in our work. If they're not sending thick data as part of this, which the temp spec specifies, then it's a processing activity we don't have to account for, as far as our GDPR compliance efforts. I think you make a fair point here. I think there's probably, maybe Dan and I, we can just take this offline. I'd be willing to work with Dan and maybe propose, language that accomplishes what we're trying to do.
That'd be great. So let's do that. So on this issue, we have on the very first issue we discussed, which I already forgot. Marika's created a more generalized policy recommendation that's been beat up a little bit. And on this one, you know, Marika, we could come up with another generalized recommendation, and have that in our back pocket. But if Dan and Mark can work offline for a solution to this, that'd be great. All right, I just want to I'll talk about recommendation, the recommendation having to do with reasonable access. So, I thought we made some great progress in the last meeting. We have a suggested amendment from Hadia, and I think Aiden's responded to that, but if others could respond too, we'll try to get some closure on that before tomorrow's meeting so we can close that off. I'm really hopeful about that because, you know, I think we've come farther than I had hoped, and that's a significant recommendation for us to get us through to our future work. And then I just to close on the first topic of our discussion today and the transfer of data from registrar to registry, I want to try to make it clear where we go from here. So I think that, one, we should reword the recommendation along the lines of what Aiden recommended, because I think that makes it clear to the casual reader that we're not talking about the minimum possible set, but really an aggregated set of data across all purposes that should be, that's to be transferred. So that's the first. So I want to have that queued up for inclusion in the report. Two is, and I'd ask Margie and whoever else wants to help me with framing up a legal question that we'll put through the legal committee. For Ruth on FIC who is, and then language for our final report that identifies FIC who is as a big issue, and not using those words, of course, and stating that, you know, this analysis has to take place. And, you know, Margie and others, it's kind of up to you to what extent you want to try to resolve this in phase two, which I think might be good because we've got an RDAP discussion going on in there, and also the access model, and to what extent this needs to be farmed out to others. So I'm fine with either conclusion. So I think those are the two steps. One is to recognize the work that we've done in the data elements analysis that we have done since been working on since LA. And even before then, and saying, okay, we've identified, you know, just not what data is transferred from registrar to registry, but all the data transfers that occur. This is just one part of that. So I think that has to be memorialized in our report, but also recognize the clash and how we're going to best address that in our future analysis. And again, you know, Margie was the lead on this. So, you know, to the extent you can, I'd appreciate your help. So that's all I have. We're losing the registries, although I'll guarantee to you that GDPR won't be discussed in the registry call till you get there. Staff, do you have some wrap-up things?
Sure, Kurt. This is Marika. So I have a couple of action items I noted. First action item for the staff support team to circulate the set of legal questions that have been sent to Byrd and Perth for the EPDP team's information. Action item two, request to ICANN.org to respond to the questions posed by the registry stakeholder group in relation to recommendation number 13, as well as questions in relation to compliance input on REC-SEC, REC-7 as soon as possible. An action item for the registrar team is encouraged to review the BC input on recommendation number 9, the org field, and provide feedback on the mailing list. The next action item is for the staff support team to update recommendation number 5 in line with the edits that were suggested by Aiding during the meeting. For the EPDP team to further review and consider this issue, Rec 5, and put forward proposed language for the final report, factoring in today's discussion and noting that this could also be in relation to recommendation 22. And for the leadership to work with the legal committee on a possible question in relation to FICRUIS. Further action item is for staff support team to circulate proposed language to address process for amendments to registry and registrar agreements. And then next action item is for the registry reps to work with ICANN.org on a proposed path forward in relation to bulk registration data access to ICANN. And then the last action item is for the EPDP team to continue discussion on the mailing list in relation to recommendation number 12 in view of coming to agreement at the latest by tomorrow's meeting. And that's all I had.
Quite a bit. Thanks for attending this extraordinary session of the EPDP. I'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. Thanks very much for participating and have a great day.
Thank you, everyone. Operator, if you could please stop all recordings. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.